This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Leftovers are an inevitable part of Thanksgiving, sometimes tastier the next day, sometimes in need of a little help, a little heat, perhaps, from a product that has become as quintessentially American as turkey.
With mashed or French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes, I'm always satisfied. To get Tabasco sauce, it's the wonder sauce, the housewife's joy and pride. I'll take Tabasco on pork chops.
This 1948 jingle is one of thousands of items kept in a unique archive located on an island in Louisiana, where Tabasco has been made for 135 years. NPR's Renee Montaigne traveled there for this report.
Avery Island is the home of Tabasco in every sense. The peppers are grown here. The salt used in the sauce is mined here. Many of the factory and field workers dwell in cottages here. And the McElhaney family, creators of the hot sauce whose name is emblazoned upon every tiny bottle, is still here. No wonder. Avery Island is a lovely place. Several mansions sit gracefully among live oak and Spanish moss. Bright azaleas and camellias push up against bamboo forests, and in late winter, thousands of snowy egrets suddenly appear. Yet for historian Shane Bernard, one of the most beautiful sights on this island is a very old dump.
Going down to this gully, which was used as the trash heap for the plantation home.
Turns out the old McElhaney Plantation trash heap is a treasure trove of old Tabasco bottles, and it is a genuine archaeological site run by the University of Alabama. Shane Bernard comes here often in his capacity as the historian and curator of all things Tabasco and McElhaney. Here, bottles are the equivalent of ancient coins.
Well, look, I mean, here's a bunch of them right here. This one right here, you see this one? We think this is the cologne type bottle, the very oldest Tabasco bottle from 1868-69.
Ah, the cologne bottles. They are at the very heart of the Tabasco creation story. Elements of that story include founder Edmund or E. McElhaney, prosperous banker, yachtsman, gourmet, New Orleans bon vivant. The young belle Edmund marries, who brings to the marriage an entire island. Then, after the Civil War, ruin. But wait, he has a hobby, making his special hot sauce for friends. Why not sell it? Paul McElhaney is the sixth in an unbroken line of McElhaney men to run the company.
E. McElhaney, Grand Père, as we called him, he started the business in the late 1800s, and I think he found that cologne bottles that had stoppers with sprinkler fitments in them. The sprinkler would allow something to be dispensed by the drop or the dash rather than poured on, and his sauce was so concentrated that it was practical. So the legend is that he took old cologne bottles and filled them with Tabasco sauce.
The factory where the hot sauce is bottled after aging for 3 years in oak barrels is also on Avery Island. Elias Landry, like many workers here, grew up on the island. His father worked in the fields, his mother in the factory. Now his son is working here too. As with the McElhaney family, Tabasco is in his blood, you might say, and definitely on everything he eats.
Rice and gravy, beans, gumbos, soups, everything but ice cream, I guess. I've eaten Tabasco ice cream. We tried that one time and it was, it's a novelty item.
Breathing Tabasco for the first time stings the eyes, the throat, the lungs. 27 years of leaning over a vat of hot sauce the size of several hot tubs has made Elias Landry pretty much immune to the peppery air around him. At this moment, we are perched on a platform alongside a vat, looking straight down into a swirling, painfully red liquid.
This is a mixing vat that contains about 3,000 pounds of mash and about 1,400 gallons of vinegar. What's happening right now is it's stirring it up, and you see the seeds and skins all inside of it. This vat can produce about 1,600 gallons of finished sauce.
Three of these giant vats looming below hold more sauce than Edmund McElhaney brewed in his entire lifetime.
This would be a terrible way to die.
Yes, it would. Quite a few of us have gotten drenched with Tabasco sauce before, and it wasn't pleasant. One of the funniest is whenever Mr. Paul McElhinney comes up here and gives a tour, he says that this, he calls this the McElhinney christening font. He says he takes the little McElhinney babies by the feet and dumps them in, and if they cry, well, they're not true McElhinneys.
Tabasco, Tabasco, aged 3 years like vintage wine. Nothing fine like the genuine. There's only one Tabasco.
Nowadays, Tabasco hardly needs to advertise. It's to hot sauce what Kleenex is to tissue and Xerox is to copying. This 1956 radio spot is thus an artifact, part of Shane Bernard's domain, the McElhinney Archive, located just down the ways from the factory.
These are just artifacts that haven't been processed yet. Old bottles, old photographs, old certificates from various family members.
Among the historical documents in the archives, the sheet music from a 19th century traveling burlesque opera of Tabasco. Shane Bernard tells of a limerick contest. Unhappily, many contestants found the best rhyme for Tabasco was fiasco. There are also exquisite cut glass crystal Tabasco decanters, a reminder that the now ubiquitous hot sauce was once a very expensive premium product that by World War II was sitting on Britain's royal table.
We have papers here in the archives referring to a ship named the SS Mount Mirto, which was bringing Tabasco from New Orleans to London or Liverpool in 1940 and was sunk by a German U-boat. And so somewhere at the bottom of the Atlantic are 600 bottles of Tabasco sauce.
Aging gracefully.
Yes.
Tabasco can be found in plenty of places where, frankly, the company would rather it not be, such as on the cover of a 1950s paperback titled Tabasco.
It's a men's, I don't know if you'd call it a romance novel, it's a gentleman's entertainment, a naughty book.
It's subtitled, Some Senoritas Are Spicier Than Tabasco.
Life I live, I always live with a little Tabasco. So when I give, I always can give with a little Tabasco.
Today, Tabasco is shipped to 110 countries. It is on the official menu of the space shuttle. It is included in MREs, meals ready to eat, issued to soldiers overseas. To many, it tastes like home. But Tabasco's founder never realized the legacy he had left his own family. Historian Shane Bernard says that at the end of his long life, Edmund McElhinney wrote out a sketch of what he would be remembered for, his many accomplishments, and he devoted not a single word to Tabasco. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.
Pictures of the Tabasco assembly line are at npr.org.
You can take it from me, it's the way you should live. It's a sure guarantee to get back what you give. A little Tabasco in your life.